Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we near the end of the season of Epiphany, we draw closer to the revelation of Christ's glory in his transfiguration before he finally sets his face toward Jerusalem. Yet the final and full revelation of Christ's glory is not complete without his resurrection, both his as well as our own. As we heard last week, the resurrection of all people on the last day is inseparably tied to Christ's own resurrection. As St. Paul says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is in vain. We are still in our sins, and we of all people are most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Adam was given his task in the garden, to work and form and shape the land as he pleased, to care for all God's creatures, and to eat of any plant except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that he ate of it, he would partake in the fruit of rebellion and sever himself off from God, the very source of his life. In the moment Adam ate, he became spiritually dead and condemned himself and all of humanity to waste away in physical death as well. After all, what has been corrupted by sin cannot create from itself what is pure and holy. And so, on account of Adam, life for each and every one of us is only one slow and laborious process of death, even from before our first breath to the time we take our last. But why did God preserve Adam's physical life instead of allowing him to die the instant his spirit did? It is because God is merciful. He does not delight in the death of wicked. Instead, he chose to save his creation from death by making them spiritually alive once more. Christ was born not as a son of Adam, but as the Son of God, pure and holy. He was sent to purify what was corrupted by sin by drawing the poison of sin out of us and into himself. On the cross, he who knew no sin became sin for us and offered himself up to his Father so that our sin would be consumed by his righteous wrath, and he would leave us as empty vessels to be filled by his Spirit. Thus, we would become alive in the Spirit once more. In doing so, Christ gave us what Adam could not. He restored to us what was lost. He gave us life, now and forever. When the Spirit enters in and creates in us faith, our spirits are reborn, raised from the dead. Even though we live in a world that is still passing our way, our spirits remain and are taken with Jesus, where he will one day to be with him until one day he comes again. On that day, the full revelation of his glory will be seen, not only that Christ has raised from the dead, both body and soul, but that we too will raise. All who trust in him will rise to new life, body and soul. The last enemy to be defeated is death. But some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? What is laid in the ground is a seed, not the plant that is to come, but not distinct from it either. Our spirits have been brought from death to life, and so too our body shall be brought from death to life as well. When Christ was raised from the dead, he was not given a different body altogether, but his body was transformed and glorified. So too, when our bodies rise from the dead, they will also be transformed and glorified like Christ. The body that was planted into the ground was weak, corruptible, able to die. The body that will rise from the ground will be risen in power, incorruptible, and live forever. In that day, our body and spirit will be reunited in perfect health and harmony. We will have no weakness, no temptation to sin, but our whole being will look to and serve God alone. Yet then, as long as we long for that day, our spirits are living now and forever. Thus, how can we, who have been made alive and are destined for eternal life, still continue to sin? How can we go day by day thoughtlessly, as if we have not been made alive by the Spirit? How can we go on not loving God with our whole heart, not clinging to the truth of His Word? How can we go on satisfied with what the world or even our own hearts tell us, and not what God Himself has revealed? How can we go on with evil thoughts, being tempted and led astray by Satan? How can we go on not loving one another, treating one another harshly, and grumbling and complaining about one another? How can we go on asserting ourselves and demanding what we think we are owed? How can we go on looking toward one another as enemies and not as brothers and sisters in Christ? How can we go on speaking all kinds of evil about those we do not agree with? How can we go on condemning those for whom Christ died instead of sharing with them the forgiveness that we have received? After all, we are people of the resurrection. As such, Christ commands you to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who abuse you, to lend without expecting anything in return, and most of all, to be merciful, as God our Father is merciful. To the weakness of our bodies, we must die daily, so that we do not go on sinning, but instead that we might rise daily as the new man that Christ is creating within us. We must continually examine ourselves, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, acknowledging our sin before God and one another, confessing it and turning away from it to embrace the life the Spirit gives. We must ask the Spirit to continually enlighten us and to help us to live now the new life that the Spirit has given for eternity. We must always live with that end in mind, knowing that Christ is the first fruit, and then at His coming, those who belong to Christ. For that is who we are becoming. That is who we are to be. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.